This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, your weekly hour of old-time radio crime brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from the new adventures of Nero Wolfe. We'll hear the case of the careless cleaner, his story from November 17, 1950. After that, it's Nick Carter, Master Detective, and Records of Death, his story from January 22, 1944.
Stay tuned for Nero Wolfe, which follows transcribed in 30 seconds. What's on the menu at Duffy's Tavern tonight? Well, there's a full serving of laughs with Archie the manager, played by Ed Gardner, and his unpredictable friends, Miss Duffy, Clifton Finnegan, and Eddie the waiter. It's Duffy's Tavern later this evening over most of these NBC stations. And this Sunday, the big show comes your way once again with Bob Hope, Jimmy Durante, Perry Como, Jose Ferrer, Mindy Carson, Eddie Cantor, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and many, many more. And, of course, your MC once again will be Tallulah Bankhead. That's this Sunday for the big show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the most famous brownstone house in New York City, the one located at number 601 West 35th Street.
Oh, Mr. Wolfe. Mr. Wolfe.
Want something, Archie?
Would you be interested in taking on a case involving a woman who was found stabbed to death in one of New York's fancier men's clubs?
Can't you see I'm already occupied, Archie? My Oncidium hybrid is ailing.
But, sir, cash. C-A-S-H. Remember, you need it to live on.
Well, you're actually learning to spell.
You'd better learn to count. We're broke.
Thank you, Mr. Goodwin. Now, if you'll just go away and stop interfering. Oh, just a minute.
Yes, sir.
On your way out, switch on the fan.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that one and only man of moves, the most famous detective in modern fiction, that corpulent, orchid-raising, beer-drinking gourmet who also happens to be a genius, Rex Stout's incomparable Nero Wolfe, starring Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight, Nero Wolfe's long-suffering assistant, Archie Goodwin, tells us of the case of the careless cleaner.
We didn't know Clay Michelson very well at the time, though Mr. Wolfe had hung one of the Michelsons' paintings on the library wall. But then I guess we should have considered ourselves lucky not to have known him or his wife, Phila. 2 weeks ago, they had a quarrel.
Oh? Oh, Clay, darling. I didn't expect you home so soon. I thought you were going to the museum to see the Van Goghs.
I decided not to, Phila.
Oh. Well, if you were... plan to paint this afternoon. I'll get out of the studio. I want to run some errands anyway.
Why don't you make your phone call from here, Phila?
Phone call?
Who is he, Phila?
He?
Who were you waiting for this afternoon?
Please, Clay, don't start that jealousy routine again.
Don't try to kid me.
You're being stupid, Clay.
I'm stupid, all right, but I'm getting wise pretty fast.
You.
I'm through, Phila. I've had enough. I'm leaving you. So stay out of my way and keep your boyfriend out of my way, too, whoever he is, or I'll kill him.
Yes?
What can I do for you?
Sleepy. I want to have a drink and go to bed.
I'm sorry, sir. The Garrison Club's a private establishment. No rooms available to the public.
You think I'm drunk?
Oh, no, sir.
Why do you suppose I came here?
Well, I'm sure I wouldn't know, sir.
I'll tell you why. I came here to see my old pal Lou Saunders. That's why.
You know Mr. Saunders?
Do I know? Look, I paint him, Lou sells him.
Mr. Saunders is your agent?
I'm Clay Michelson. Just call Mr. Saunders.
Clay? What in the world?
Lou, tell this guy who I am.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Saunders.
It's all right, Mr. Martin.
You see? Let's go have a drink.
Yeah, sure, Clay. Yeah.
You know what, Lou? I left Phila. Yep, I walked out on her.
Is there something I can do, Mr. Saunders?
Yeah, have someone fix a bed in the other room of my suite. Mr. Michelson will be staying with me. At least, for tonight.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolf?
Yes, Archie?
It's Friday.
Good. Fish for dinner, then.
Nope. I was not referring to dinner.
You were not? I can think of nothing more interesting at the moment.
Oh, I can. My salary.
Of course, according to the Julian calendar.
We're on the Gregorian, so let's stick to it. Today is Friday. Today, I get paid.
Archie, there's a drop.
Oh, don't exaggerate. You can't be getting the cold shudders just because I'm asking for my money.
I can distinctly feel fresh air flowing into the room.
Well, it's possible I might have opened a window 6 inches.
You're insane. Shut it at once.
Nope.
Are you trying to blackmail me?
Think it might work?
Never.
Then the window stays open.
You're fired.
I accept your offer. All you have to do is pay up.
I've hired you again.
Oh, Mr. Wolf, you've cleaned out the bank balance again?
Well, that is... Well, hadn't you seen those Miltonians?
Would I have voluntarily given up my paycheck for them? Orchids are very beautiful, Mr. Wolf, but blondes are...
The door, Archie.
I am unemployed.
Confound you, it may be a client, and if it is, and we can extract a fee. You follow me, Archie?
I'm already on my way to the door.
Mr. Wolf, I've got to see him at once.
Well, come in.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolf, this is...
My name is Sanders, Mr. Wolf. We've met before.
I remember. As a matter of fact, you sold me a painting of Michelson.
Yes, well, that's why I'm here. It's about Michelson, Mr. Wolf, that I've come. Frankly, I think the man's about to go mad. He and his wife have split up and
such a splendid artist, too. A pity.
I don't know what to do. He's drinking like a fish. For 2 weeks, I've been letting him live in part of my suite at the Garrison Club, but he's just steadily getting worse.
May I try a hospital?
I can't. The publicity. Mr. Wolf, Clay admired you so that time we all had dinner after the painting transaction. I thought maybe you could talk to him. Maybe you could get him on his feet again.
I'm not a doctor, Mr. Saunders.
But I'm sure he'd listen to you.
Excuse me a moment, Mr. Saunders. Nero Wolf speaking?
Inspector Kramer.
Good evening, Inspector.
Got a guy called Lou Saunders at your place? Garrison Club said he'd gone to your place.
Yes, he's here.
Well, see to it that he doesn't leave until I get there.
I'd hardly do that, Inspector. I have no reason to detain Mr. Saunders.
There's plenty of reason. It so happens a woman's just been murdered in his suite.
Murdered?
Yeah. A Miss Hilda Lundgren.
What's happened?
Now will you hold him?
Do you know a Miss Hilda Lundgren, Saunders?
Hilda Lundgren? I've never heard of her.
She seems to have chosen your suite to be murdered in.
I'd better get right over there.
Mr. Saunders says to tell you he'll be right over, Inspector.
Now listen, Wolf.
Good day, Inspector.
Murdered. Murdered in my suite. Mr. Wolf, you've got to come with me.
Mr. Goodwin will accompany you after the formality of a retainer, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, anything you say. Here, I'll write a check.
Good. 500.
500? Fine.
My friend and assistant, Mr. Goodwin, will go with you. I have great confidence in his ability to bring back every detail of a murder, particularly where a woman's involved.
Okay, you photographers, picnic's over for tonight. Pick up your stuff and get out of here.
You sound real mean today, Inspector Kramer.
Well, if it isn't Nero Wolf's favorite stooge. What are you doing here, Goodwin?
I got bored with my knitting.
Look, I wasn't asking for humor.
I'm Louis Saunders, Inspector.
Saunders? Ever seen that woman before?
Yes, I believe I have. I can't remember where, but the face looks familiar.
Lovely-looking woman. Blonde and really built.
Well, she ought to look familiar. She's one of the cleaning women here at the club.
She is? Cleaning? Well, since when have gals like this been reduced to cleaning floors? What's happening to the world? There ought to be a law.
Yeah, there is. She was killed with a knife, or haven't you had time to notice?
That's not a knife, Inspector Kramer. That's one of Clay's Chinese letter openers.
What was that?
Well, nothing. Nothing at all. Yes, it is a strange knife.
What were you saying, Mr. Saunders?
I just said that looked like one of the letter openers belonging to one of my friends.
Who is this Clay?
Clay Michelson, the artist. But you can't possibly think he'd do a thing like this.
I think everybody did it until we know otherwise. When were you last up here, Mr. Saunders?
Me? Why, just a little while ago. I changed my clothes just before I went to see Mr. Wolf.
She wasn't here then?
Well, I don't know. I didn't come into this room, just in my part of the suite.
Your part? Who occupies this room?
Mr. Michelson has been staying with me.
Strange wound, no blood.
What do you think you are, Goodwin, a medical examiner?
Oh, but I...
Yeah. The killer probably wiped the blood away. Saunders, have you any idea where your artist friend might have run off to?
I haven't seen Clay all afternoon. He spends a lot of time down in the bar.
Well, he'd hardly sit in a bar if he's killed somebody.
But why would he pick on the cleaning woman?
Oh, this is no ordinary cleaning woman. Get a load of that figure.
Watch it, Goodwin. You're liable to stretch your brain.
But you're wrong. In spite of everything, Clay's still terribly in love with his wife. He wouldn't...
Hello. When did you get in?
Yeah, who's this?
Clay.
We're your friends, Lou. They won't serve me any more liquor down at the bar. I gotta find my flask.
Mr. Michelson, may I introduce you to Inspector Kramer of the police?
Who's this guy, Lou?
He's Nero Wolfe's assistant.
Wolfe? Police? Well, what do you all want? Somebody park overtime? Where's my flask? The one with my initials. I just bought it this morning.
Mr. Michelson, do you know that somebody was murdered here in your room?
Murdered? Why don't you guys go away and joke with somebody else? Where's my flask?
You better get hold of yourself. I said there's been a murder. Understand?
You serious?
Yep. And I wouldn't be surprised if Inspector Kramer here considers you top suspect.
Me? They think I did it?
You better pull yourself together, Clay.
Yeah, because I got a lot of questions.
Excuse me, the phone.
Now, sit down, Mr. Saunders. I'll answer it.
Hello? This is Fila. Who is this?
This is Inspector Kramer. Hello? Who is Fila? Anyone know?
Well, that's my wife.
Your wife?
I want to speak to her.
Come back here, Michelson.
Let me alone. You're not going anywhere. Now, stay back there.
You're wrong, Inspector. I am going somewhere.
Junior's got a gun.
Yes, Inspector. You should be more careful about your gun when you shove people.
Now, look, Mr. Michelson,
Mr. Wolfe myself. Stay back, Inspector.
You haven't a chance. We'll nab you before you get a block away.
Well, then I'll just jerk these phone wires. And I'll lock the doors. That should hold you long enough. Good night.
Yeah, Wolf speaking.
Wolf Kramer.
Indeed.
Clay Michelson may be on his way over there. Hold him until I get there.
Hold him? Why?
Not more than 10 minutes ago, he held me up at the point of a gun.
He carries a gun?
It was my gun.
Careless of you, Inspector.
Ah.
Goodbye. Come in.
Mr. Wolf?
Yes?
My name is Clay Michelson.
Yes, I was rather expecting you.
You've got to help me. They think I murdered someone.
You shouldn't have run away from the police.
I've been drinking a lot, but I wouldn't murder anyone. Fila'd tell you that.
Your wife. Was she the model in that painting of yours I purchased?
What difference does that make? I tell you, they're after me for murder.
You obviously loved your wife deeply at the time you painted her.
Oh, here you are, Mr. Wolf. Michelson.
Clay. Good Lord, man. The police are on their way over here.
He came for my help, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, I'm glad he did, Mr. Wolf. But we left Inspector Kramer talking from a phone booth. He'll be here any minute.
And we have only a minute to decide why anyone would want to kill a cleaning woman.
I didn't kill anybody.
She was a beautiful woman, Mr. Wolf.
I gathered that, Archie, from your unusual interest in the case.
She was stabbed with a letter opener from Mr. Michelson's house.
Which might add Mrs. Michelson to our suspect list.
Fila? You can't suspect Fila.
You're very gallant, Michelson. Just how was this beautiful young cleaning woman, this Miss Lundgren, stabbed?
In the heart. Her eyes were wide open. Pupils dilated with shock.
Details later, Archie. Kramer will be here shortly. The moment I would like to know where everyone was.
Well, Mr. Saunders was here with us, you remember. I don't know where Mrs. Michelson was, but I could go see her and find out.
No, it won't be necessary, Archie. Mr. Michelson, where were you?
Me? Why, I'm not sure. I can't seem to remember.
That's hardly what we would call helpful.
I was drunk. Maybe I went to Fila's. I've been over there lots this week trying to talk to her. Yet I must have gone over there.
Have you ever seen the murdered woman before?
No, I never saw her before in my life.
I've seen her before, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed, Mr. Saunders. I seem to remember your earlier statement to the contrary.
Well, I didn't know her name, but when I saw her, I remembered her. I understand she was quite an alcoholic.
Unfortunate woman. Beautiful woman.
Who Look who's here, Inspector Kramer.
Oh, here you are, Michelson.
And as usual, you didn't have the courtesy to ring the bell, Inspector.
And give you a chance to get this guy out of here? Nothing doing, Wolf. Now, come on. We're going to headquarters.
Mr. Wolf, you can't let him take me. I didn't do it.
I'm afraid there's not much I can do about it, Mr. Michelson.
Come on. You come along too, Saunders. I got to get a statement from you.
Of course.
This way. Come on.
Very well.
All right.
I just got an angle.
Really, Archie?
Sure, it's simple. Saunders been going for this beautiful cleaning babe. Clay worms in, Saunders kills her.
Perhaps there was jealousy somewhere in this case, Archie. Yeah, Wolf speaking.
Mr. Wolf, this is Phila Michaels. You don't know me, but you once bought a painting from my husband. I've got to see you, Mr. Wolf. You've got to help me.
Mrs. Michelson, have some of this delicious beer. Another can, Archie. And now, Mrs. Michelson, may I ask how you found out there was a murder in the first place?
A policeman came to see me. He told me what had happened, that they were looking for Clay. I don't know what to think. He's temperamental, he's jealous, and he's sometimes violent, but can't imagine anything like this, not Clay. Maybe some of those friends of his, but...
You don't care for your husband's friends?
No, they all live off him. They're leeches.
Mrs. Michelson, did your husband come to see you this afternoon?
This afternoon? No.
You're quite positive?
Oh, yes.
That was his alibi for the time of the murder. He said he went to see you. Of course, he was fuzzy, usual effect of alcohol on the brain cells, but... Mrs. Michelson, might I be a little indiscreet for a moment?
Indiscreet?
Have you been seeing some other man?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Please, Mrs. Michelson, I'm afraid your face gives away more than you tell.
I thought we were here to talk about a murder, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed, but your husband's jealousy might well fit into that category.
Oh, Clay, imagine things.
You're a very beautiful woman, Mrs. Michelson. Now, if you'll try telling me the truth, perhaps we can accomplish something.
But I tell you... All right. So I thought I was in love with another man.
Your husband suspected but didn't know, huh?
No. Clay didn't know. He wouldn't have given me a divorce anyway.
You sound as though you want your husband back.
I did, but I didn't even know where he went.
Indeed, Mrs. Michelson. Archie informs me that the murdered woman was quite lovely.
What are you trying to suggest?
You said yourself you wanted your husband back.
Yeah, one woman jealous of another, that's always murder.
Why, that's stupid. Clay wouldn't play around with a maid. That's stupid. Clay loves me. I'm not jealous of anyone. No one, do you understand?
Archie, if you'll see Mrs. Michelson home...
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I can find my own way.
I'd prefer Archie took you, Mrs. Michelson. You wanted my help, didn't you? Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Michelson. If you will just wait outside for a moment, please.
What have you got in mind, Mr. Wolf?
Try exercising your own judgment just once, Archie.
You mean she's the one who's jealous?
Perhaps, Archie. Perhaps she may want us to think she was jealous. Perhaps she actually doesn't want her husband back at all, only to pin a murder on him. Oh. You see, in this case, it would be simpler than divorce.
Yeah? Yeah, she might just be trying to get rid of him.
She might, Archie. But then she's a woman, so don't count on anything. She might even be telling the truth.
This is where I live, Mr. Goodwin.
Nice. Very nice. I like Greenwich Village.
I'm trying to figure out why Mr. Wolf sent you along with me.
I'm a sucker for beautiful women.
I wonder. Archie.
Huh?
Does Mr. Wolf believe me?
He hasn't made an official statement yet. Nice furniture and things.
You sound like an appraiser or someone looking for something.
It's because it's November.
Mr. Wolf sent you to search my apartment.
You could be wrong. I don't...
What's the matter now?
Thought you said your husband hadn't been here today.
He wasn't.
And what's his flask doing among these papers on the desk? Very prettily decorated with his initials. He was looking for it at the club.
Flask? I don't know what it's doing there.
Yeah, sure. You're trying to help, Clay. Right into the electric chair.
But...
His only alibi was his being here this afternoon, and you said he wasn't. Then what is his flask doing here? He said he just bought it this morning, so he must have been here today.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where's your phone?
Well, you've got things wrong. I don't know anything about that flask.
The lights... Who switched off those lights? Phila, put those lights on. Put on those lights.
All the lights are... Get to the lights. That flask... Gone.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Wolf, where's Fela Michelson?
Fela? Perhaps you might try the lost and found, Inspector.
Now, look, I know she was over at your place.
I thought you were interested in Clay Michelson.
Well, I let him and Saunders go for the present. They're clean until I get the medical examiner's report.
Oh, when will it be ready, by the way?
An autopsy takes time, you know that. Where's the Michelson woman?
I believe she had a date with Archie. Why do you want her?
I'm sure it never dawned on you, Wolf, but this cleaning woman who was killed was some dish. Maybe Mrs. Michelson was the jealous one.
Your thinking is beginning to bear an amazing resemblance to Archie's, Inspector.
Also, it maybe never dawned on you that Fela Michelson hasn't offered an alibi for the time of the murder.
You're right, Inspector. Yeah, you are.
Come on, Wolf, quit stalling. Where's Fela Michelson?
What? Oh, I really don't know, Inspector, but perhaps as a last resort, of course, you might try her home. Good night, Inspector. Inevitable. The moment I'm comfortable. Come in.
Mr. Wolf. Oh, thank heavens you're here.
I always am. Where's Mr. Goodman?
I don't understand how it happened. I swear I don't.
What happened?
I haven't got any idea how it got there.
Got where? Calm down, Mrs. Michelson. Now, just what got where?
Clay's new flask. Your assistant, Archie. He came home with me, and that new initial flask was there. He thinks Clay was there this afternoon, and that I'm trying to frame him or something.
Oh, here you are.
She's here, therefore.
This is our gal, Mr. Wolf. She's been lying right down the line.
I tell you, Clay wasn't there.
Then why did you give me this clout on the head and grab the evidence and run?
I didn't. I didn't hit you. I ran, but I didn't hit you. And I didn't take that flask either.
Oh, next thing she'll say, there wasn't any flask.
Stop gaping at Mrs. Michelson, Archie, and open the door.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Mr. Wolf, they let Clay and me go for the... Fela, what are you doing here?
After your visit this afternoon, Mr. Saunders, she decided to come down and see me.
After my visit? What makes you think I was at Fela's?
It was Mr. Saunders, not your husband, who came to visit you this afternoon, wasn't it, Mrs. Michelson?
I don't have anything to do with Mr. Saunders.
Then might I ask why you called him today?
I wasn't calling him. I was calling Clay.
You told me earlier yourself that you didn't know where Mr. Michelson was.
Well, all right. So what if it was Mr. Saunders who came this afternoon?
As he has for many afternoons.
What are you trying to get at, Mr. Wolf?
Saunders? He and Fela?
Yes, Archie, Mr. Saunders, the artist's friend and agent, happens to be the one who was making a fool of the artist.
But that's all over. I told him. That's what I was talking to Mr. Saunders about this afternoon. I didn't want Clay to know. Clay would never have come back.
All right, so it was Fela and me. I admit it, but that's not murder.
I suggest that it is, Mr. Saunders. I suggest that one of you two murdered the cleaning woman. Whichever one of you carelessly left the whiskey flask in Fela's apartment.
This is murder, Mr. Wolf. Not a joke.
Not at all a joke. You see, our cleaning woman was not murdered by the knife found in her body. She was poisoned.
What do you mean, not by the knife?
Poison. She undoubtedly drank from Michelson's flask while she was working in his room at the Garrison Club.
But she was stabbed.
True. However, Miss Lundgren was an alcoholic. Saunders mentioned that, and I checked with the club manager.
But how does that prove there was poison in the flask? That she was poisoned?
Archie, would you mind repeating your description of the dead Miss Lundgren? First, as to the wound.
Okay. There was no blood.
Someone advanced a fantastic theory about wiping the blood away. And now, Archie, the description of the body of Miss Lundgren.
I mentioned the fact that her eyes were wide open, the pupils were dilated. Dilated pupils?
Yes, Archie. The lack of blood had already made me wonder about the entire affair. When you added the dilated pupils...
What's special about dilated pupils?
In death, that is a common symptom of poison by a certain vegetable drug of considerable potency.
But what was the point of stabbing her?
The poison did the job. However, the killer later used the letter knife in an effort to deceive the police. However, he unhappily forgot that the dead don't bleed.
I think you're guessing, Mr. Wolf.
Am I?
All I can say is that I was at the pool in the early afternoon.
Hmm. You're very certain you were at the club pool when the murder was committed, Mr. Saunders?
Certainly. From 1 until 3.
Excuse me, please. Wolf speaking.
Inspector Kramer, medical examiner's report just came in this minute. And get a load of this, wizard. The dame didn't die of stabbing at all.
I know.
You know?
She died of drinking a fatal dose of poison known as deadly nightshade.
What? How do you know that?
Inspector, do they know what time she died?
Time? The medical examiner says 2:30.
Thank you, Inspector. Oh, incidentally, if you care to drop over here, you may pick up the murderer. Goodbye.
I heard him, Wolf. She died at 2:30. As I told you, I was in the pool at 2:30.
Which is exactly how you prove yourself a murderer, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, I prove myself...
Even the police didn't know what time she died. Until just now. And the body wasn't found until the evening. How did you know she died between 1 and 3?
I didn't know, but...
You probably were at the pool at the time. The maid drank the poisoned whiskey you put in the flask of your friend Clay Michelson.
I tell you, you're crazy.
You planned to get rid of Clay, who stood in the way of your marrying Fila. When you came back to your room at 3 and found that the maid had drunk it instead, you stabbed her with Clay's letter opener to cover up the real cause of the murder and throw suspicion on Clay.
Oh, this is nonsense. Ridiculous.
And then, when you learned that the woman for whose love you were willing to commit murder was through with you, you took Michelson's new flask to Fila's home, confident that it would be found there.
Yes, and then he attacked me and stole that flask again in order to make it look like Fila had done it.
Exactly, Archie. Mr. Saunders, the chances are that your fingerprints will be found on that whiskey flask. And they'll be able to trace the poison to wherever you purchased it. The chances are...
Oh, no, you don't. Careful now, all of you.
Guns bore me, Saunders.
Oh, yeah? I'm leaving.
You are not...
Clay!
Oh!
Clay.
Yes, Mrs. Michelson, your husband has been there for some time.
Clay, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Well done, Mr. Michelson. I think you proved that an artist's life may indeed be exciting.
I've been an awful fool, Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Michelson, you might remember for the future that unreasoning and unjustifiable jealousy sometimes creates the very conditions that it fears.
You're being very kind to me, Mr. Wolf.
How can we ever thank you?
By prompt remittance of your check on receipt of my bill in the morning. Good day, Mr. and Mrs. Michelson.
Good day, Mr. Wolf.
Good day.
What's the matter with Archie? You look glum.
Yeah. I always have the lousiest luck.
Meaning?
A hectic case with 2 beautiful dames. Michelson gets one, the undertaker gets the other, and what do I get? Hey, that reminds me. You got a fee. I get paid.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Cheryl Hendricks and based on the famous characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Betty Lou Gerson, Howard McNear, Dan O'Herlihy, Vic Perrin, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Beautiful Archer. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. There's fun and laughs with the chimes later this evening when Ed Gardner stars in Duffy's Tavern. As usual, Duffy won't be there, but Archie the manager will definitely be on hand to spread his whimsical advice where it'll do the most damage. Tomorrow night, there's action on NBC with Herbert Marshall starring as the man called X in another exciting battle against the forces of international intrigue. Next, Sam Spade. Later, William Bendix on NBC.
What's the matter? What is it?
Another case for Nick Carter, master detective.
Yes, it's another case for that most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction. Nick Carter, Master Detective. Tonight's curious adventure,
Records of Death. For Nick Carter and the mystery of the unclaimed box.
The fact of the matter is, Mr. Carter, that I've quite accidentally stumbled on a terrible crime. Or, to be more correct, I've stumbled on evidence that a terrible crime has been committed.
But even so, Mr. Field, why do you come to me with it? That sort of thing should be reported to the police.
Mr. Carter, what police would I report it to?
Where was the murder committed?
I don't know.
Well, how can you know that a murder's been done if you don't know where it was done?
Well, that's what makes this particular crime different from any other. Somewhere, sometime, a murder has been committed. Yet I don't know when or where. As a matter of fact, I doubt if anyone in the world knows of it, except those who did it, and me.
And how do you happen to know all this?
Because the victim, a young and beautiful girl, has told me so in her own words. I have the knowledge from her own lips.
Oh, and you've seen and talked to her?
Well, here's the story, Mr. Carter. About a month ago, I attended one of the sales of unclaimed packages that the express company holds twice a year. Among other things, I bought was a box about one-third the size of a steamer trunk. It contained some miscellaneous articles of clothing and 10 phonograph records.
Phonograph records, huh? Regular professional records?
No, Mr. Carter. They were small record blanks you buy when you make home recordings for yourself. I immediately played the records, and since then I've played them so often, I almost know them by heart.
And you learned about this crime from those records?
Yes.
Mr. Field, you want to arouse my curiosity. You've certainly succeeded. When can I hear these records?
Immediately, Mr. Carter. I have them in my room. If you'll go there with me, we can listen to them at once.
Splendid. You mind if I take my assistant, Patsy Bowen, with me?
Of course not.
Then as soon as she's ready, we'll go. Patsy.
Yes, Nick?
Get your hat. We're leaving at once to listen to a murder.
This is the box, Mr. Carter.
Beautiful, isn't it? Now, Mr. Field, before we go further, there are a few things I should like to know. How long ago did you buy this box at the auction?
A little over a month ago.
Mm-hmm. On the express company, must have had it for about a year or so. Another thing, were there any wrappings on the box when you bought it?
Yes, it was well wrapped in heavy burlap.
You have those wrappings now?
I'm sorry to say I don't. By the time I realized that the wrappings might have furnished a clue to the mystery, they'd been burned in the incinerator.
Too bad. Well, do you by any chance, whatever, recall the name and address to which the box was consigned?
Fortunately, I do. It was addressed to an Alex Delanois in New York City. But I've searched every city directory, every telephone book, every place where names are listed, and I can find no such name anywhere. There was no street address, and the rest of the label, as I remember it, was practically obliterated.
I see. All right, Mr. Field, let's listen to the records.
And gladly. I'm very anxious to get your opinion of them.
Are they in any kind of order?
After hearing them over and over as I've done, I believe that I've finally arranged them in their proper order.
I see.
They're so peculiar, I can hardly wait to see if you can tell me the answer. Here's the first one.
I have a terrible story to tell. But even while I try to tell it, I'm afraid that you who may listen to this will not believe me. But I beg you, if justice means anything to you, believe me and avenge me. I shall rest easier in my grave if I know that those who hope to profit by my death have been deprived of the fortune they plan to get by killing me. I am very rich, but I am not rich enough to avoid the fate that is in store for me.
She sounds as if she meant it, doesn't she?
I thought he was coming in, but he went away. I've tried several times to escape, but I've failed each time. I wish I could tell you where I am, but I can't, because I was drugged when they brought me here. Oh, I forgot to say, my name is Nancy Deering, and I'm 22 years old.
You who listen to this will recognize the name at once, of course. I only hope they don't murder me until I can...
Is that the end of it?
Not quite.
He almost caught me that time. But now he's left me alone again. Maybe I can...
That's all. Apparently he came back before she expected him.
Well, she certainly had plenty of trouble getting a story onto the record, didn't she?
Yes. She was interrupted many times. Generally in the wrong places.
I imagine no trouble is too great if you're really desperate.
What a terrible feeling it must be to expect to be killed any minute.
Here's the second record if you're ready.
Okay, Pete.
I don't know where I left off with my story last time. I dare not play it back. If they should ever hear what I'm trying to do, they'd take the machine away from me. Then I'd be completely lost. I feel that my end is coming very soon now. They may carry out their plans to... In the gloaming, oh, my darling, when the lights are soft and low, and the flickering. I think he's gone now. I'm sure Ralph was listening at the door, but the singing apparently convinced him I was listening to the radio. When the time comes, I know it will be Ralph who kills me. Olive will undoubtedly help him, but Ralph is the leader. I found that out the other day when they tried to get me to sign the papers which will give them possession of my fortune. I shall never sign but that... When the light...
The rest of the records,
they did her best on her story on those records.
Too bad she didn't succeed better.
Well, she managed to get most of her story on the records, one way or another. The only thing she really missed out on was telling us more about herself than just her name.
Probably never occurred to her that the records might travel thousands of miles before someone would hear them.
Yeah, here's the third record.
Last night, somebody searched my rooms while I was in bed. Maybe they suspect that I'm making these records. Although I'm very careful, I play the radio all the time so they'll be used to hearing the noise. Ralph told me yesterday he was sure I was going crazy. Maybe I...
Nancy, Olive asked me to tell you that.
And that ends that.
Whose voice do you suppose that was there at the end?
I suspect it was Ralph's.
It's amazing how much of the scene she recreates this way without really saying anything definite. You can feel the tension and the suspense right along with her.
Yes. On the fourth record, she was able to get part of the visit that Ralph paid her one day. She must have known he was coming and prepared for it by putting the record blank on the machine in advance. Then, when she heard him at the door, she probably turned it on. Got this.
Well, put it on quickly, Mr. Field.
You are, Miss Bourne.
Well, my beautiful young half-sister, have you decided to sign over your fortune to me?
I told you long ago I'd never do that.
If you sign, we'll set you free, just as we promised.
You don't fool me, Ralph. The minute I sign my name to that paper you have there, you'll kill me. You know that as well as I do. You set me free. That's funny.
Ah, you don't know when you're well off, Nancy. If you did, you'd sign and go free.
You don't think I'm a fool, Ralph.
I do. And I also think it won't be long before you wish you had signed.
Oh, I wish this were all over. I wonder how they'll kill me. Ralph would prefer to strangle me, I'm sure, with those great hairy hands of his. As for Olive, yes, she'd use poison on the boot.
That's all there is on that one.
It's a pity she couldn't have put more on each record than she did. She really used only a small portion of each blank.
Yes, Betsy, but she had trouble enough to get even that much on them, the way they watched her.
Nick, where could she get the blank records in the first place? They certainly wouldn't have let her have them knowingly.
If I were to make a guess, Betsy, I'd say that when they took her to the place where she was kept prisoner, they probably took along her clothes and some of her furnishings. Mm-hmm. And among them, probably, was this radio phonograph.
Perhaps she specially asked for it because she loved music or something, and the record blanks were probably the machine along with the other records.
That could be. How about the fifth record, Mr. Field?
I've never been able to make much out of this one. Maybe you'll have better luck.
You mean it's not like the others?
Quite different. Here, I'll start it near the end. The whole first part is just scratch and nothing else.
The record. For some reason, she waited before saying anything. Then Ralph and Olive came, found the door locked, and, being suspicious, broke it down. Nancy hid, and they dragged her out. There was an argument about something that I didn't get. Nancy grabbed Ralph's pistol and took a quick shot at him, but she missed. Before she could pull the trigger again, he took the gun away from her.
Good grief, Mr. Carter. It's clear enough when you tell it. Well, here's the sixth one.
I must hurry. The time is very short. I may be interrupted any minute. I'm seldom left alone anymore. They seem to be afraid of what I'll do if I'm left alone. I wonder that they haven't killed me before this. I wonder if they...
There's nothing but scratch for quite a bit here, but she starts again.
Olive came in. I had to stop. Now she's gone for a few minutes at least. Yesterday I wrote a letter to my father and I threw it out the window, hoping someone would find it and mail it. But Ralph found it and brought it back to me and laughed at me. I keep asking him for news of my father, but he'll tell me nothing. If Father only knew where I am, he'd rescue me. Maybe if I can jump.
And that's the end of that.
We didn't get much out of it.
I wonder where Father comes into this.
You'll see before we're through. And this seventh racket is more interesting because it records a complete conversation between Nancy and Ralph.
Good. Let's hear it.
How are you today?
If you had your way, I'd be dead.
Why don't you kill yourself and save us the trouble?
You mean save you from having a murder on your conscience? If you have such a thing.
Murder is a very ugly word, Nancy.
You're murdering me inch by inch every day that I stay here.
Well, I don't object to doing it that way if I can. If you ever throw anything at me like that again, I'll tie you up so you won't be able to move out of your chair.
Ralph, if you really want me to sign those papers for you, just let me go to my father. If you do, I'll sign anything you ask.
That's out of the question, Ann. But if you sign, we'll see that your father finds you soon enough. And it's only because I'm your half-brother that I offer you this.
You sneak in my ass!
Gosh, I wish we could have heard more of that.
Yes, we might have learned something really important.
You will. Nancy knew the record was near the end, and that glass of water was merely an excuse to get Ralph out of the room while she put on a new one.
Good for her. She's a clever girl.
Oh, what a terrible ordeal she went through, never knowing from one day to the next whether it was her last.
Quiet, Betsy, please.
Thank you. You were gone quite a long time.
I met Olive in the hall. She reminded me to tell you... We've decided that unless you do as we want you to, you have just just one more day to live. Just one.
Do you think that frightens me? I'll almost welcome death, because I know it's the only way I'll ever get away from you two. I'm firmly convinced you'll never succeed in getting possession of my fortune.
Of course we'll get it. No doubt about that.
I don't think you will.
No?
No. That is, you won't get it unless you're planning on murdering my father, too. After you forged a new will for him to leave behind him.
Smart, aren't you? Guessed it the first time.
No. No, you wouldn't. You couldn't.
No, why not? He's not my father. And we want his fortune for ourselves.
I can't believe such inhuman creatures as you two really exist.
Our mother bore a strange lot of children, didn't she? On one hand, we have you, my saintly Nancy. And on the other hand, we have the twins, Olivet and me, who are anything but saintly. Yes, life is very strange sometimes.
Get out! Get out and leave me alone! I'd rather die than leave you!
That's an excellent idea, Nan. I'll be gone for about 15 minutes. If you're wise, you won't be alive when I return. Goodbye. I hope forever.
You heard what he said. It was the best evidence I could get. Ralph really made a full confession without knowing that every word he said was being preserved for you to hear. But my father, why must he die? Oh, I beg you, whoever you are, hear these words. If you can do anything to avenge our death, in heaven's name, do it. I go to my death believing that through you I shall have my revenge at last. Oh, please don't fail me. I see the records coming to an end. Good night. Pray for me. Good God.
If you didn't know she was in deadly earnest, you'd almost think she was putting on an act.
I still feel terribly moved when I hear that record. She never had a chance, really.
Well, let's hear the next one. That's the ninth, isn't it?
Number nine is almost a blank. Here it is.
They almost caught me that time. They mustn't do that because they might find the records I've already made and destroy them. They're both coming back in a few minutes, but maybe I can...
Is that all there is on that one?
That's all. That's the end of the record.
There's one more, isn't it?
Yes. Number 10. The first two-thirds of it's blank. It starts here.
Stand back, both of you.
Wait,
no, what? You see, I'm armed. You know I can shoot straight. I'll kill the first one of you to move.
Confound you, that's my gun. Where'd you get it?
Olive gave it to me so I could defend myself. That's a lie, you know it.
Wait a minute!
The old man will be here in a couple of hours. We don't want to be caught.
And that's the end of the last record.
Poor Nancy. She certainly got a tough break.
I truly believe that's the most remarkably told tragedy in history.
Oh, Mr. Carter, have you got any ideas?
I have, but I'm not ready to talk about them yet.
Well, what's the next step now, Nick?
Well, first of all, Patsy, I want to examine the other contents of the box thoroughly. I can look them over more intelligently now that I've heard the records. Then I want to play those records over and over until I know them by heart.
And then?
Then, I expect to be able to give you the answer to the problem. Got a sandwich in your pocket, Patsy?
Oh, Nick, I thought you'd never finish listening to those records.
Well, I want to be sure I didn't miss anything anyway. and I believe I've learned everything those records could tell me.
You mean you really found some clues, Nick?
Yes, indeed, Betsy. Several clues marked out for us very plainly.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But first, I want to go over that list we made of the other things that were in that box addressed to Alex Delanois.
Of course, Nick. Let me see now. Yes, here it is. Opera cloak with label Felix and Company, Toronto. And a beautiful and expensive thing it was, too.
Mm-hmm.
Silk slip with the name Olivette Dupre pinned on it. Wish I could wear silk like that.
That's it.
A silk slip with the name Nancy Deering pinned to it. A New Testament with the name Evangeline Dupre on the flyleaf. Several rings, all very valuable. A real pearl necklace. And some beautiful and very expensive lace. Also, of course, the bloodstained nightdress, which must have been the one that Nancy was murdered in.
And the three snapshots, of course.
Oh, yes. One with the name Olivette on the back, one with the name Ralph, and one with the name Evangeline Dupre Deering.
Whoever packed that box knew exactly what he was doing, Patsy. All ties together beautifully. He or she has given us all the clues he could to the people concerned in the affair.
Evangeline Dupre Deering must have been the mother.
Yes. She had two children, twins, Ralph and Olivette by her first marriage. Then she married Nancy's father, a man named Deering.
But that doesn't get as much nearer a solution, Nick.
No, but it does, Patsy. Did you notice that all the voices we heard on the records were American?
Well, yes, I guess they were.
And yet the names are mostly French, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do we find a combination like that around here?
Why, in Canada, I suppose.
Exactly. And the label on the opera cloak says Toronto, which confirms the Canada idea perfectly.
You mean that the Deerings lived in Toronto?
It's certainly quite logical to assume that the scene of the murder is Canada, and very possibly in the vicinity of Toronto. Or we start there anyway. Maybe the Toronto police can help us.
But, Nick, even if you're right, it doesn't mean that the police would know anything about the murder. It was all done so secretly.
You're overlooking one thing, Patsy.
I am? Well, what is it?
The family from which these people came was a rich family. Very rich indeed, if we may guess from the beautiful laces and from the jewelry and other things packed in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And remember also that Nancy's father was probably killed, too. Now, I can't believe that the head of a rich and probably well-known family could disappear without anyone knowing it.
You mean you think the police will know that something happened to him about a year ago, even if they don't think that there's anything wrong about it?
Exactly. So pack your bag, Patsy, and order a taxi to take us to the airport. We're flying to Toronto immediately.
I'm very happy to welcome you back to Toronto, Mr. Carter. It's been many years since you've been up here to see us.
Well, thanks very much, Chief. Now, you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Of course not. Go right ahead. Did you get a letter about a year ago telling that a murder had been done? And that if you wanted proof, you should claim an express box sent to New York City in the name of Alex Delanois?
Wait a minute. By George, Carter, we did get just such a letter. But we thought it was the work of a crank and destroyed it. Do you mean it was true?
I have every reason to believe it was. Now, another question. Would you know anything about a girl named Nancy Deering, or about her father?
For heaven's sake, Carter, what do you know about the Deering family?
You answer my question first, I'll answer yours. What about the Deerings?
The father, Charles Deering, was the younger son of an English nobleman.
Mm-hmm.
He was immensely rich, had a house here in town, a country place called Deering Hall. He married a woman with two children, twins, I believe, and she died when his daughter Nancy was born. He was always prominent in local affairs up to about a year ago when he's said to have disappeared. Hasn't been seen since. I understand he started for Deering Hall, but never arrived there, according to his two stepchildren.
What about his daughter, Nancy?
Nancy was brought up by relatives in Montreal. Few people here know her at all. But as I remember it, she was supposed to have disappeared just before her father did. Although I now understand that she was at Deering Hall with her half-brother and sister all the time.
You say Nancy didn't disappear after all?
I know. As a matter of fact, she was here in Toronto this past week. She believes her father is dead, so she's applied for letters of administration for the estate.
I thought so.
You did? What do you know about it?
Enough to know that this girl who calls herself Nancy Deering isn't Nancy Deering at all. She's an imposter whom the stepchildren have brought in to impersonate her. Chief, we got to get out to Deering Hall at once.
Into the Deering estate turns off somewhere right in here, Carter. I'm not quite sure.
Well, look, Chief. There's a man standing in the road up ahead.
Oh, so there is.
And he's motioning to us to stop.
Looks almost like a dwarf, doesn't he?
Certainly a queer-looking individual.
If perhaps you are going to the oil.
Yes, we are. Why?
Could you take me back there? I have walked so far, I am tired out.
Oh, of course. Climb in.
Well, You are a policeman, no?
Yes, I am.
Oh, then you can help me. And I need help so very much.
What seems to be the trouble?
My name is Alex Delanois. I am the...
Alex Delanois?
But yes, you know me.
You once had a box packed with records and other things in New York City addressed to yourself?
Oh, but yes, you have seen it.
Yes, that's why we're here. Tell me, how did you ever happen
to... Yes, I will tell you everything. I was the caretaker at the hall. Miss Deering let me stay in one of the old tower rooms because I am, as you see, a cripple. Sometimes I do not get out of bed for days at a time. About a year ago, the two stepchildren of those so very wicked devils came to the hall. They brought a girl who was kept a prisoner in one of the bedrooms.
Alex, isn't that the hall, road to the hall just ahead there?
No, but yes, the hall is about a half a mile in off this road.
Go on with your story, Alex.
Yeah, the girl was so carefully guarded by those two, I could not get to her room. I could not help her. I am a cripple.
No, you did what you could, Alex. You being there helped her, I know.
How did you manage to get the things packed in the box?
After they killed Nancy, poor enfant, they did not guard their room so carefully. I got in, I took the records and the other things and packed them in the box. A fisherman I know up by the lake sent the box by express for me. I wrote to the police in Toronto and in New York and told them what had happened, and asked them to claim this box. But I am afraid they did not do it.
No, we didn't. We thought the letter was just a hoax. What about Nancy's father?
The day after Nancy was killed, he came here, and they tried to kill him, too.
Tried to? You mean they didn't succeed?
No, not quite. They hit him on the head with a pistol and threw him into the lake from the high cliff. But I saw them do it, and I rescued him. I took him to my room and nursed him myself until he could get a doctor.
Well, how is he now?
Well, he's about well now, I think.
There's the house right ahead, Nick. Drive right up to the door, Chief. I'll go ahead. You keep in the background in case they know you.
Okay, Carter. Well, I'll be right behind you.
Alex, you and Patsy stay here in the car.
Oh, but of course.
Sure, Nick.
Yes? What is it, please?
Please tell Miss Deering that we've come to take some affidavits concerning her application as administratrix for the estate.
Yes, sir. Well, come in, please. I'll announce you.
It's your turn now, Chief. I'll stand here one side of the door, just in case.
I can handle them, Carter.
Maybe, but they're going to be... Quiet. Here they come.
Well, gentlemen, what can we do?
Out to pray, I arrest you and your sister Olivette for the murder.
I'll take that gun to play with me.
Get it,
oh, no, you don't, young lady. This pair of handcuffs will take care of you.
Any help, Carter?
No, I can take care of him. Nice work, Carter. Pair of handcuffs on him. They both keep safely till we can put them behind the bars.
And we can now restore Deering Hall to its rightful owner once more. Even though it's almost a year later, the box that Alex Delanois packed has fulfilled its destiny.
This has been another of the strange adventures of Nick Carter, Master Detective, which are brought to you regularly at the same time by WOR Mutual. What's your story going to be about next week, Nick?
Well, next week I'm going to tell you the tale of the thief and murderer who had to be caught twice before he was really caught at all.
And when Nick caught him the second time, it was because he was able to guess in advance exactly what the criminal was going to do, as well as exactly what he was going to think.
And what did you say the crime was?
Merely a matter of murder and robbery.
There was nothing unusual in the crime itself. The excitement came, and the way Nick chased him, outsmarted him, and finally caught him.
It's a very special example of the criminal who was just a little too clever for his own good.
He overrated himself and underrated Nick.
That's always dangerous where Nick Carter is concerned.
Thanks for the compliment. And so long till next week.
So long, everybody.
And so long to you both. In the strange adventure you've just heard, Nick Carter was impersonated by Lon Clark, Patsy by Helen Choate. Original music was played by Lou White, and the entire production was written and directed by Jock McGregor. Next week at the same time, listen to another curious experience of Nick Carter entitled...
The Unwilling Accomplice, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Society Burglar.
This story is a copyrighted feature of Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. This is Mutual.
that's case closed for this week. If you want to hear more from Nero Wolf, Nick Carter, find past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, and everything else Relic Radio, just visit the website at relicradio.com. You'll find a link there as well to our Shoutcast stream, and if you enjoy this and all the podcasts and would like to help support it all, our donate button. Click on that for more information. Thank you, as always, to those who have donated, and thank you for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.